Can we this morning in unison say, Pastor Eric and Pastor, wait a minute, wait, that's not unison. Can we say, Pastor Eric and Raquel, we love you very loud. Can we do that? Do you need to stand up so you can do it with full voice? Amen. Pastor Eric and Pastor Raquel, we love you. Give a yoo-hoo. Amen. God bless you this morning. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, and we have occasions where people come and people go. And so we love them when they come, but we miss them when they go. We were going to say farewell today to the Hamiltons, but they've already been traveling to the Grand Canyon and all around. And so they're on their way to Georgia, and we just bless them as they go in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's give them a hand clap this morning. We also have Rick and Joanna Vio. Would you come forward, please? And we're going to pray over them as they go with their children. I'd never met them until this morning. Always running around. But anyway, if you would come right up to the red line, you were fine right there. Okay. I didn't know much about them, but I knew that probably if anybody had Facebook, it would be Joanna. So I went in and I looked, and one of the things that she posted, she says, I know God's with us on this journey because our house sold in one day. And so they're on their way to Arkansas, and he's going to be helping with writing curriculum with the National Guard. And so that's going to be a great thing. And they have two children that are back in children's church this morning. But would you extend your hands towards them? We want to bless them as they go. Father, we just thank you for the life and for the Vios and their family. And Lord, you said the steps of a good man are ordered by you. And Father, we declare even now over them that you are ordering their steps. And Father, we pray that you would go before them. Lord, there are surprises down the road. They have no idea. But Father, we pray that you would open doors for them that no man can shut. And Father, we bless them in your name. And Father, we pray that you'd grant them safety. Father, you would connect them to a good church. And Father, that they would continue to grow in you. And Father, we thank you for them and their life and their time with us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Love you so much. Okay. God bless you. So difficult during these times to say, or even to know who we have in the house sometimes, because we're trying to really stay connected with everyone. We are in the second Sunday of Advent. Many of you may not even know what the candles are about, but the candle today is purple, and it actually represents faith. And so we have faith in a God that doesn't quit. Amen. And so we believe that God is with us. Thank you for being here today. We just ask for you to continue to pray for Pastor Eric and Raquel. And we're all in that process because as leaders, we want to make sure, number one, that you're safe. We want to make sure that the house of Shiloh is safe. And we want to make sure that the pastoral staff is safe. And that's why they have taken the steps that they've taken. So they appreciate your prayers this morning. Amen. We got some other events coming up. And I know Pastor Eric is always very good about making announcements. But we've been in discipleship. We are now moving towards Jens. That will be starting up again in January, the second Tuesday in January. So be thinking about that. If you've been involved in the past, dropped out, it's time to get reengaged. If you have not been involved, this is the time to do that. We've already got a retreat encounter scheduled in February. And so as you begin to sign up for that, there will be a table out front that you can do that with. And be glad to have you a part of that. Christmas caroling, you'll hear more about. Groups are going to be going out, and we'll be going to homes. We're not going into homes. We're not going into nursing homes, but we will go to where they can hear us. I know many of you don't sound out very loud here, but I tell you, I've heard you out there, and many of you have a loud voice, and we need it during this Christmas caroling time. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you today about, and I know for many people, during the pandemic and all the things that we're facing, that you've had your own challenges, and everybody's challenge is different, even in the midst of the pandemic. But I'm here to declare to you today that God is bigger than your storm. Doesn't matter what your storm is. I believe that God is much bigger than that, and he wants to bring us out on the other side of all that stuff that's going on. And as we're seeing 2020, and thank God, there's some stuff in 2020 we don't have to go through again. Would you agree? Amen? I know that God is the God of the breakthrough, and I believe as we move towards 2021, personally in your life, you're going to begin to see breakthroughs that you haven't had in the past. And so this is a season and a time for that. This morning we're going to be turning to Isaiah 41:10, reading from the Passion. Do not yield to fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every, not some, every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand. Now, I believe that God is with us right where we are. God has been with you in the process, no matter how you felt, no matter what you had to give up, but God is still right in the midst of doings in your life. Today, I believe that this message is relevant to each one of us, like the slide two, for the place that God has each of us in our journey with him. As we approach 2020, there was hope, there was excitement, a lot of talk about revival, and expectation about what God was going to do right around the corner. But little did we know, there were things that were coming that none of us had any idea how it would impact our lives, cause us to look at life and live differently than we had ever lived in our life because of the storm that we were going to face. The pandemic that we face and are still facing has brought loss and family members, pastors, governmental leaders, and many that we don't know, even their name, all across the world. But I want to assure you that although we did not know that that storm was coming, God knew. It is God that is able to bring us through the storm and out on the other side. There are many storms that we can face as God's people, and each storm will change, challenge, and realign your life in a suddenly moment. These storms can take the form of a natural storm or a disaster, a storm of redirection, a storm to check your faith, a storm to release you from your situation. Each of us have either faced storms in the past in our lives, like the pandemic, physical storms, employment, financial hardships, or just plain old life. But these storms can come suddenly upon us, in many cases, can be more than we can humanly handle. In Arizona, we are certainly aware of the monsoon season and the sudden downpour of rain and the quick rise of water. It used to be back in the 80s, you could set your clock when the monsoon was coming. I remember back in 84, 85, I was visiting Shiloh here, North Avenue. Pastor Joseph and I were out riding. And he said, "We better get in the car. The monsoon's coming." I said, "How did you know that?" He said, "Well, at this hour of the day, it shows up." And I assure you that we jumped in the car, and here came the monsoon. Now, being from North Carolina, we had no idea about what a monsoon was like, other than when I was in Vietnam. But we know that now all that's changed around. You don't know when the monsoon's coming. People can ask you even on the telephone, "Well, what is your rainy season, and when does it rain, and when is the monsoon coming?" And we begin to say, "We don't know. It's about this time." But you see, it is this way. God sees the storm that is coming in your life. God is the one that has the first word, and God is the one that has the last word. I can tell you, it is not the scientist, not anybody else, but God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. Matthew 8, 23 through 27, we'll be reading from the NIV this morning. And it talks about Jesus in the midst of a storm. It says, "Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" I want to ask you this morning, as we look at slide 3, how big is your storm? You see, here in our text, the disciples find themselves in a terrible storm. Storms do not catch us when we're not expecting them, when we're expecting them. This was probably true for the disciples as this storm came up, even when Jesus was with them and he was asleep. But here Jesus reveals himself as the God who is bigger than our storms. I think our view of God is very important in all of our lives, because how we view God will determine how we view ourselves. And this morning, I'm sure that all of us know that God is bigger than our storms. Because if you're like me, you just sometimes need to be reminded. One thing is for sure, and hear this scripture, the storm was not as big to Jesus as it was to the disciples. And even though the storm was above their head, it was under his feet. You see, we got to understand that it doesn't matter what you're going through, that you are rising above the storm, and Jesus is with you in the midst of that storm, and he's going to see you safely through to the other side. Slide 4 says, God's got this. Reality is, nobody else has got this. And you've tried your own stuff, and it didn't work. But I can assure you that God's already seen down the road, and no matter the storm that you're going through right now, he's got the answer, and the answer is already on the way, even when you don't know it's on the way. Because things are happening even when you don't feel like it. Things are happening even when you don't see it, and there's going to come back suddenly in your life. It's going to erupt, and it will be the hand of God that brings it on you for that victory. But let's think about how God is bigger than our storms. There are five principles in our text that bring us to that answer. In slide number 5, we start with that. It says, his intention is bigger than our storm. You see, from the very beginning of time, Jesus has had a plan. And I just want to say this. He doesn't have a plan A and a plan B. His plan is a plan. You may have a plan A, a plan B, a plan Z. But he's only got one plan, and he knows the beginning of it. He knows the end of it. And he knows that you're involved in the middle of all that, and he's going to see all the way through it. But see, his plan was this. He wanted the disciples to get in the boat. He didn't want them to get in the boat to sit there. He wanted them to get in the boat to get to the other side. Now, I want to say to you today, as we have become the children of the living God, you didn't get in the boat just to sit there. He got you in the boat to get you to the other side. And so we're in that process already, and so you got to know that there's victory, there's going to be trials, there's going to be testing, there's going to be storms along the way, but it's going to get you to the other side. We have good intentions many times. But many of our human good intentions have failed. I know I have. I'm sure you have. Have you ever determined, today I'm going to go help this person? Well, at the end of the day, you find out you didn't do it. But when it was all said and done, you had good intentions. Have you ever set out to do a good deed and end up not doing it? We have all failed in our intentions. But God has never failed his intentions. God's plan cannot be stopped. Whatever God's plan is, it cannot be stopped. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it. He's not going to make it half complete. You know, Marge has been in this sequence of cooking cookies because we're in the process of Christmas. One thing I don't like is a cake that's half done or cookies that are not cooked. And I assure you, Jesus doesn't like the same things. He doesn't like you half done either. Sometimes we are half baked. We're just sitting back waiting for him to miraculously do something, when sometimes he's already placed it in our hands and there's something that we're supposed to be doing to accomplish that maturity and coming to that full stature that he's calling us to be to. I don't know if you've ever been through a literal storm like the Sea of Galilee. But we do go through various storms of life. Your storm may be when someone you dearly love dies unexpectedly, or you just don't understand it. It may be when your job is not going where you need it to go. It could be when you feel betrayed by those you love, and no one understands your heartache. Our storm can be when life has us so confused. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do. It may be even when Satan whispers in your ear, "It's no use. It will never work. You might as well give up." I'll say to you, Satan is the father of lies. And that means he's the best at it of anybody in the whole universe. So when he tells you one thing, you need to begin to believe the opposite of what he's telling you. Because if he tells you you're a loser, guess what? You're a winner. If he tells you you're a failure, guess what? You are in success. If he tells you that you are sick and are going to die, guess what? You are the healed of the Lord. There's no better source than to hear something from than from Satan, because he's going to speak to you a lie, but you know the truth. And the word said it's the truth that will set us free. Amen? What can we do when heartache comes knocking on our door and we feel overcome by despair? You may not understand why God made you the way that you are, but he made you. The word that is called the way he made us is called unique. We got a lot of unique people in this room. So you know, you're unique. I love you for who you are. I believe it's time to stop blaming the devil for our difficulties and refocus. Although we may not understand it all, I'm glad for one thing. I'm glad I know that God has a plan for me. I'm glad that God has a plan for you. And his plan is bigger than any storm. Any storm that you'll ever experience, any storm that I'll ever experience, God is bigger than all of that. Can we give him a praise? Give him a praise in the house. Matthew 8:24, and we read the foundation scripture for that, but 24 says his interpretation is bigger than our storm. Jesus is asleep in the storm and evidently had been asleep for a good while. May have been already dreaming. Who knows? He may have been snoring. He was natural like we are. But as you begin to look at the scriptures, it begins to indicate that he was in a deep sleep. I wonder, do we sleep good when problems are consuming us? When problems consume me, I have had a hard time sleeping. So don't you know what I do? I just lay awake and help God run the world by praying. Sometimes we just sit there and we worry and we worry and we worry. And it's nothing that you're going to do that's going to change the situation. And I believe, as critical as we are in the nation with many things, and many things in our life, there needs to be a return to prayer like we've never prayed before. Here's what happened. The disciples were in the boat, and they saw all the waves, and I'm sure the water was splashing over into the boat, and they would begin to say, man, we're going to sink. It's all over. And here's Jesus back there sleeping away, snoring, having a good time, and dreaming about the kingdom of God. But yet, they couldn't change the circumstance. It was totally out of their control. Do you ever wish you could change your circumstances? I do. But we can't. We may as well accept that. We need to realize that God doesn't see the storm the way that we see it. His interpretation is bigger than our storm. It's amazing to me until people face a crisis in their life, seldom do they pray or read the Word. But once you're faced with a major crisis in your life, all of a sudden, you're reading your Bible that you've never read it before. You're beginning to seek God, and you're at the altar every time the altar's open. You're calling in for prayer on the prayer line. And everybody that you can see in the grocery store, you try to get them to pray for you there too. But see, all along, if we were already praying, already in the Word, already in communication with God, then the storm that we face is not meant to be a crisis in our life. It's meant to be, we can relax and sit back because we know who's at the helm. We know that God's in control, and nothing is going to come to us unless it's God filtered and through His hands. We must take, Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 tells us, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I mean, many times that's what we think. Well, God sees it my way. Many times we pray, we're going to God, we're hoping He'll change His mind. I think prayer is not meant to change the mind of God, but meant to change our attitude towards the situation. Because that brings us to the other side of it. All of a sudden, we become more thankful for things that we have. We thank God for the health that we have, but know that He's got the answer on the other side of that. We still believe He's the healer, He's the deliverer, He's the one that's going to see us through it. He'll give you the grace to come out on the other side of it. We're not giving up. My way, says the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God sees the storm that you're in as a means of not stopping you, but as a way to advance you to where He's taking you. I've often said in my prayer and my struggles, and we all have them, God, would you get it on and get it over? I don't want to dwell here for the rest of my life. I'd rather have it all at one time than have it for 20 years. Amen? So what we need to see is that God is in the middle of it, but what he's trying to do is many times there is stuff in our life that needs to be gotten out. And what God is after is that stuff that's in our life that needs to be gotten out so that he can be used fully by you in his kingdom in the days to come. It's interesting that the candle today is faith. Because my word for faith is taking God at his word despite the circumstances. Doesn't matter what stuff looks all like around you, but it is also knowing the promises of God in the midst of bad circumstances and knowing that he's able to bring you out on the other side. Because of your faith in him. Like the disciples, we may be in a terrible storm. We may be so scared, we're biting our nails off. And don't tell me you don't do it, because I know there's people here that do. But it is good to know that God is not postured like that. He's not in heaven, biting his nails, concerned about you. But when you pray, he says that he not only hears your prayer, but he will answer them in the midst of your storm. His inclination is bigger than our storm. When the Bible tells us that waves are coming over the sides of the ship, obviously it was being filled with water. This meant that they were losing control of their ship and that the water was controlling the ship rather than the boat controlling the boat. The storm was controlling the boat. Even with many of us, that's what happens. Our storm controls us rather than seeing who's in control of the storm. You see, they woke Jesus up shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown." They felt their lives were in great jeopardy. The word jeopardy says they feared death. They thought it's over. But they did the right thing. They went to Jesus. I'll pause there for a moment, because many times we're seeking the advice of the world. Only God can bring. And when we trust in the elements of the world, and I'm not saying they're all bad, but we hear more what other people are saying than what God is saying to us for our situation. So if you want the true answer how to get out of the mess, then as you spend time in prayer, God's going to bring to you the answer, because he has the answer in your life. Amen? Jesus arose, but not the way that I would have arose. Have you been awakened suddenly and expectantly from a deep sleep? And I know there are kids that like to go around and take feathers across their nose and all kind of things when you're sleeping, and you wake up real quick. And sometimes you don't even know where you are when you're waking up that quickly. Our normal response is to be startled, bewildered, confused. And maybe you're like some others, need to rub the sand out of your eyes. Jesus didn't do that. It said he arose. He got up. And immediately, he didn't wait 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Let me think about this. Let me go pray about this. It said he inclined his ear to them. You see, he was listening. That's his nature. Immediately, Jesus inclined himself to them. God is never in such a deep sleep that he doesn't hear you, that he doesn't hear your faintest whisper. Aren't you glad of that? Pastor Marge and I were talking the other day about a travel we were on in New Jersey, and they have what is termed black ice. Black ice, many of you will know what it is, but we were in a Volkswagen VW with a dog, with eggs, with gifts, and all this stuff, headed to Pastor Marge's parents' home, and then all of a sudden, we are upside down on black ice sliding. Now, I didn't say to Pastor Marge at that point, give me a moment, I'm going to pray. I assure you, that was not even in our mind. And we didn't have to say to each other, I think it's time to pray either. Because the thing that we said was this in one word, Jesus! And I think when we come to the place, and I call it a place of desperation, and who's on our side, we need to know that God is for us. Jeremiah 33:3 says to this, call to me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And we know that God is tuned in as we're crying out to him. God wants us to call on him. One amazing thing that doctors have verified is that a mother often has a special ear for their baby. Many mothers in here will know what I'm talking about. Because you can have a room full of kids, and whoever baby it is that's crying, that mama knows. You say, we don't understand that God is more in tune to the cry of his people than the mother is the cry of the baby. You see, for me, it's been like this. And we have all kind of programs in the church, and my office is at the end of the hall, right next to the church office. So from the nursery all the way down the hall. I couldn't tell you what child that was crying if I had to. For me and for many guys, it's like this. If you've heard one baby cry, you've heard them all cry. Psalms 34:17-18 says this, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite heart. If you're in trouble, cry out to God. He's waiting for you. His inclination is not to just hear, but his inclination is to help us. Although Jesus was sleeping, I think the disciples misunderstood the nature of his sleep. They evidently thought that sleeping meant that he was unaware of their present danger, or that he was unconcerned for their personal lives, or maybe he was unable to make the difference they needed. But Jesus was no less God when he was asleep than when he was awake. Jesus was no less God when he was lying down than when he was standing up. He rebuked the wind and the storm and produced calm. Psalms 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of some of them." Oh, did I read that wrong? Let's say it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers me out of them all. Hallelujah. No matter how dark our life may seem, we must believe the truth that his inclination is bigger than our storm. His intervention is bigger than our storm. Matthew 37, the disciples had seen many miracles in the past. But they noticed what they said. "Who is this man?" They had seen eyes opened. They had seen demons cast out. They had seen all kind of things. But now they're saying, "This man. Who is this man that the waves and the winds obey him?" The way he intervened was unreal. They were saying it like this: "Man, this is not human." Well, you're right, because it was supernatural. But God, through Jesus, stepped in into their waves, caused the winds and the waves to cease. There is no storm too big for God to handle. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You don't sound like it. Let's try it one more time. Do you believe that? Yes. See, even the wind recognized the authority of Jesus. It said the winds and the waves obeyed him. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." You can go ahead and come, Ryan. I don't understand how he does it, and you may not either. But God can even use the junk in my life, the junk that's in your life, to bring glory to him. God desires to use us everywhere that happens to us for our good and God's glory. Do you believe that God can do that in your life today? Thank God that his intervention is bigger than our storm. His instruction is bigger than our storm. The disciples learned some things through the storm that they may have not learned any other way. They learned about faith. They understood that their faith had been in the size of the boat and not who was in the boat with them. Their faith had been in their ability to outrow the storm. Like many of us in our lives, we try to outrow the storm when we need to be calling on Jesus. Their faith may have been in the strength of the anchor, but Jesus is the anchor. You see, they begin to learn something about their current circumstances. Their hands, the way that they had tried to do it or would have solved it themselves, would not work. They knew that in their current circumstance, they have to shift their focus. And then they learned something about their future. They knew that their future depended on who was in the boat with them. I would just ask you this morning, is Jesus in the boat with you? In 2011, Pastor Marge and myself, we were preparing to go to Kenya, along with Dr. Olson, who many of you know. All the signs were clear, the borders were open. We began to travel towards Phoenix. And before we knew it, we were in the midst of a haboob. And the reports were that there were like 21 vehicles that had crashed and many calamities. And we took a side road and eventually made it to Kenya, very delayed. We didn't know that storm was coming. But still, God's the master of the storm. And so as we submit to His purpose and to His will, doesn't matter how big or how small your storm that you're walking through, I'll say to you that God is bigger than any storm or any problem that you face in your life. I believe if we're able to say that He's a God that will see to it for you. He's a God that will see to it for me. I like the way it said in John 10:10. It says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He comes to steal and to slaughter and destroy. But He says, I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. The word in the King James is life, which translates into Zoe life. From the Greek lexicon, it says it this way: I want to give you absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. Now, Zoe life is not life that you can give somebody else. Zoe life is a life that extends from the throne of God into your life, causing those things that you have seen as dead to come to life. And I believe that God is a life-giving God. Would you agree with that? Let's stand together this morning. Can we just say together, God, I trust You. I know I have my own storms. I know I have my own storms. Try it again. I know I have my own storms, but You are greater than all those storms. And I trust You in that. As we are practicing social distancing, I'm going to ask the pastors, prayer leaders who would come and stand up front as we'll be opening the altars for prayer this morning. But first I want to say, if you're here for the first time or duplicate times, and you don't have Jesus in your heart, this could be your time. You may be going through storms just because you don't know him. Is there anyone that say, I need him this morning in my life? I would like to make that commitment to the Lord, to my left, to the middle, to my right. Amen. Let me just pray over you this morning. Father, we declare today that you are greater than any storm that we have. And Father, we're asking, Father, this day, Father, that you would minister to your people. Father, even those that would be online that are facing their own storms. Father, we just speak life, healing, and resurrection power of your Spirit. And Father, we ask that in this congregation, Father, that you would bring life, you would bring it in abundance by the power of your Spirit. And Father, we honor you and bless you in this day.